Welcome to the Vinyl Crawl, your weekly podcast about vinyl records and craft beer. I'm your host, Alan Miller, joined by...
Mellow Matt.
Mellow Matt Peppercorn. Let's see if you come in on that one. But I didn't tell him ahead of time, so apologies. So today we are talking about a Mellow Matt pick. This is a record that he loves dearly.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy it a lot, too. Yes. It's the Jerry Garcia Band. And this is the box set that came out 2 years ago? Record Store Day 2 years ago?
Yes. Let's see. No, it came out 4 years ago?
Four.
It's been that long. For the 30th anniversary, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's just called Jerry Garcia Band. It doesn't have a formal title to it, just self-titled Jerry Garcia Band.
The only album... The Jerry Garcia Band did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And to celebrate that, we are drinking the Dogfish Head Grateful Dead Juicy Pale Ale. Pale Ale brewed with Kernza and granola, 5.3%. Collaboration Juicy Pale Ale, an exploration of goodness, starting with a generous dose of Kernza grains and granola for a beer bursting with good karma. Enjoy notes of bright citrus and tropical refreshment, which me and you on outside of the podcast have probably had this beer before.
We have. Yeah.
I'm sure we have.
As well as some of those American Beauty brews. I feel like we've done a couple of podcasts with those.
Which shout out to that American Beauty one
Very
that we had early
tasty.
On. Tasty. Man, those are great beers.
Wow.
This one is probably not as strongly flavored on the granola side as those were. Those you could almost taste the like honey granola kind of flavor in it. These are a little more subtle.
Yeah.
But it is a nice...
It's very drinkable.
Slightly hazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got some haze
but
going on.
Very nice, though.
Yeah.
Very nice and round, fully flavored.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
It's good summer beer.
Do you know if it's a seasonal? Do you know? I feel like I only see it every so often.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see it everywhere. Like, I feel like all liquor stores don't carry it.
Right.
You know, it's just here and there.
Which, shout out to local liquor store, WK.
WK.
Liquors. Yeah.
Getting it done.
Getting it done, yeah. Really cool guy, works in there. Shout out to his picture of Nelson Mandela he had behind the counter.
It's absolutely
pretty fucking awesome. So, good beer to go with a really excellent record.
Yes.
Which I will say that you guilted me into buying this when it came out for Record Store Day, which I appreciate.
I will guilt anybody into buying Jerry Band. It's my duty.
It is.
You know.
It is. It's part of you at this point. I mean, as a official, unofficial ambassador for the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia and Bob Weir, it's kind of your duty to tell people about stuff like this when it comes out.
Well, and also, like, I know you like the Dead.
Sure.
And you're into them, and you'll listen to just about anything Dead-related. You have your favorites here and there. But when this was coming out, this album is geared for you.
Right.
I mean...
It's a good time frame for me, too. Like that
that
early 90s is a good time frame for me. And, you know, Donna's not on here. So as long as I don't have to deal with that, then I'm usually pretty happy.
The song selection
that
he does, you know.
Man. Which we should add that this is a mostly covers
album. Yeah.
Mostly.
I mean, there's a Deals on
Deals
there.
Deals on there, yeah.
And that might be it.
I didn't know some of the others, so I wasn't going to say for sure.
I'll have to scan again.
Yeah, you check out the song list and let me know if you see anything else on there that's not a cover. Because Deal was the only one that for sure I knew was a Jerry song and not a cover.
Yeah. Honestly, Deal is the only Grateful Dead song that they...
Is it a Jerry or Grateful Dead
song? It's a Jerry song. Okay. It was on... Was it on the Garcia album?
Yes.
The first, self-titled deal?
That's the first, right? The first Jerry album? Yeah.
But, you know, with Jerry Band shows and tours, that's his thing. he rarely does dead songs.
Yeah.
Because he wants to express his other side. Because
he was kind of tired of playing just dead songs.
This is his way of like letting loose and kind of going on vacation a little bit, having fun and all that.
So as our dead historian, I mean, to give any listeners that don't know this a little backstory, Matt did host a weekly Grateful Dead radio show for 23 years. I was a few digits off there. 23 years Matt hosted a weekly Grateful Dead show on D93 in Bowling Green. And very successful. A lot of people listened to it. A lot of people enjoyed it. But each time you would kind of thematically have a show set up and you would go through live shows and talk about songs and talk about artists that are related to the Grateful Dead and play some of those as well. But I think it's safe to say you know a little bit about the Grateful Dead.
A little bit.
And the members.
Yeah, a little bit.
Let me ask you this. What member do you know the least about?
The least
about? Of the traditional Grateful Dead. Let's say like the traditional lineup of Phil and all those guys.
Brent Midland, probably.
That's fair. I think that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have a lot of like extracurricular stuff, right?
Not really. I mean, what he was in the band, was it Silver?
I don't know.
Remember that album?
No.
From the late 70s?
No, man. I don't.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You've got the knowledge about that I absolutely am missing. But to get back to the Jerry Garcia band and how that relates to this, Jerry, at this point in time, correct me if I'm wrong, had gotten a little tired of doing the same old with the Dead. Like, he was wanting to branch out a little bit more.
Yeah. So, this album came out in 91.
Okay.
Recorded at the Warfield in 1990. Spring and summer shows, where when he came off tour with the Dead, would do runs at the Warfield or pop over to the East Coast and do some shows in New York, more to essentially let his hair down, play some tunes that make him happy, that type of thing.
Play with some different musicians.
Yeah. Which at this point are, some of his best buds, John Kahn, playing. Now, the Dead, at the time, highly successful.
Yes.
Maybe their peak as far as being...
Maybe even too successful a little bit?
Maybe. I don't know. This, that 88, 89 to about 90 was like, whoa.
Yeah.
They were hitting it.
I know there was always the...
All the stadiums.
And the conversation around the Grayheads and the guys that just came into it. When they got big in the 80s.
Touchheads.
Are they Touchheads? Okay.
Touchheads.
Sorry, Touchheads.
Yeah.
Those guys, I know there was a feeling that they had, almost like the yuppies had come into the party a little bit.
Yeah.
And were kind of taking over the traditional Grateful Dead fan base.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Jerry was a little disillusioned with that sort of thing as well. Like, that it had gotten so big that it was getting kind of out of control.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big machine at that time.
And it's a business at that point.
It's a business. Yeah.
And a big business.
Yeah. So this was an avenue for him to not think about that, play smaller venues and just have fun.
And to be clear, it wasn't just Jerry doing that. The other guys were too.
I mean, yep.
Bob had his own stuff on the side. It always had bands on the side.
Yep.
Phil had people on the side that he played with.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all kind of, they would all branch away from the Grateful Dead when they needed to get a break.
Yeah.
when they could. When they could get away from a show that was happening all the time.
Yeah.
So let's get into this record. Let's get into, let me ask you first, what draws you to this album? What makes you want to listen to this album?
Jerry's playing. And vocals on this. Incredible.
Really strong.
Like, this might be like the height of Jerry. Like he's firing on all cylinders, and not only just him, the whole band, like they're playing together as one.
Yes.
I mean, from start to finish, top to bottom, this album, I don't know, it's a 10 for me.
Yeah. It is, you can tell that they are playing as one. Like it is. And the other thing that I think helps Jerry a lot is that the other musicians, specifically like vocally, are in sync with him to like the nth degree. Like, you know, with the Dead, a lot of times vocally, sometimes it would get a little, you know, they just had a way of singing together. It was very very loose.
Very loose.
The vocals were always very loose. Harmonies were loose. They are not loose on here. The not harmonies at all. Are tight.
Tight.
And like when the backup singers come in to do vocals with Jerry,
oh man,
tight.
Yeah.
So tight. And Jerry is hitting all of those notes. Like
he's right there with them.
He's right with them in like the best way possible. And I don't know enough about the Dead shows of the same time frame, but I don't feel like the ones that I've heard, I don't feel like I hear that tightness vocally in the same way as I hear like on this.
You know, and this is probably an unpopular opinion amongst some Deadheads, but to me, they regained a little bit of that vocal tightness when Hornsby joined the band.
Okay.
Because you had somebody who was like, you know,
talking about Bruce Hornsby, one of the greatest musicians that's ever existed.
Yeah. And he essentially kind of brought a little glue to the Dead at that time.
Yeah. And it's a tricky thing because the Dead are known for their looseness. Like that is one of their trademarks that makes
that late 60s, early 70s.
It's one of the things that makes them great
Let's go here and see what happens.
Let's see what happens. You know? Let's play a few notes here and see what happens. A lot of times, you know, when like a Dead song starts, it starts in kind of a collage of sounds before it ever coalesces.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mickey's hitting a few different things for no good reason, and then one of them hits something else. Like it's like a whole thing where songs just kind of come together. That doesn't happen on this album.
No.
The whole band's in sync.
Yeah.
The songs start and stop in sync. They still jam. They have plenty of time to jam through these songs.
That's another great thing is, you know, when you saw the Dead, it's Jerry, you know, the captain. You're all eyes fixed on Jerry and his solo and this and that. Here it's like everybody takes a piece, you know. I mean,
they're all playing as equals. There's not a lot of showboating by any one particular person. I mean, we could say maybe Jerry takes a lot of solos in it because he does, because it's his band. It's Jerry Garcia's band.
Yeah.
You got to assume that's going to happen. But his solos are also very musical, and they also work with the rest of the band.
Totally.
There's not a lot of like Jerry just goes out and shreds for a little while and the band just kind of hangs back. Like,
yeah.
They're all playing
together.
Now
you take a solo.
Yeah. It's, no,
you know,
they're all playing together in sync.
Yes.
On it. Even like, I will say that I've only listened to pieces of this a handful of times before I asked you about doing it for the podcast. So then I went through and I listened to the whole album probably three times front to back. It's surprising how much I enjoy the way you do the things you do. Like, well, it's such a silly kind of like classic pop song.
But what
it's tight.
Perfect way to start off the set.
It's fun.
I mean,
it's
tight.
It's
like,
they're all in it.
It gets you going.
They're
you
all
know?
In it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was talking a little bit about that Simple Twist of Fate, which there's a lot of Dylan tunes on here, which I kind of enjoy as well.
Was getting ready to make that comment.
Right.
You know, let's talk about
how many
Dylan tunes are on there.
They're like, Matt, this is for you, buddy. We're going to do a few more Dylan tunes.
And, you know, I mean, Jerry loved Bob Dylan.
As everybody
you
did.
Know,
I mean,
yeah.
As everybody
How
does.
Could you not? He loved his songs. I mean, the Dead started doing Dylan tunes as early as, what, 67, 68?
And I do love the tunes that they chose.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
They're not songs that the Dead do.
No.
And, you know, the Dead do a lot of Dylan, too.
Like, Simple Twist of Fate, We still got a pup dog, by the way.
Yeah.
Simple Twist of Fate. I Shall Be Released.
Senor.
Senor. God, Senor is fantastic.
Killing it.
Like, and who covers that? Who covers Senor?
Who can pull it off is right. The question.
Yeah, just.
And then
Tangled Up. Yeah.
Which was always, you know, a classic show finisher for Jerry Band.
Which, strangely enough, Tangled Up is not on the, I think the streaming release.
Really?
I don't think it's in there.
Interesting.
It may be, and I just missed it, but yeah. I don't think it's on the Spotify release of it when I was listening back. But yeah, like, I was telling you that, like, Simple Twist of Fate, I love the Dylan song. Their version to me started really slow. Like, it was kind of slow and really, like, moody. And I was having a hard time, like, vibing with it until I, like, really gave it a little time to settle in. And then when that bass solo hit, I was all in it.
Shining through.
Yeah, his bass playing in it is so good. So, so good. And then, like, Senor is just fantastic. Like, Jerry's killing that. He's just killing it. I Shall Be Released is amazing because you get those amazing vocals and you get Jerry harmonizing with the backup vocals and everybody just killing it. I mean, as good as it's probably ever been done. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
They definitely, the song choices for this release, A+. You know, it's a great snapshot of the Jerry Garcia Band at that time, you know, 89 to 90.
Yeah. And
I mean, it's a great example of what you would see at a Jerry show at that time.
So, and now let's talk about cover versions of Dear Prudence and history. Let's talk about a historical perspective of cover versions of Dear Prudence. Because for whatever reason, this is a song that a lot of artists love to take a shot at.
They do. Yeah.
I mean, for good reason. It's a great song.
Sure.
Great song. It's a weird song.
It's a weird song.
It's a moody song. It's a spooky kind of song.
And it could be made even weirder by some bands.
Yeah. So, Susie is...
I'm waiting. Yeah, I was waiting for it.
I've always contended that my favorite version of it is Susie's version.
That's your dark wave version.
As far as a cover, I've always figured that Susie and the Banshees had the best cover. Now that I've listened to this one two or three times, I'm starting to second guess myself.
Boy, they nail it.
They really do. And Jerry nails the guitar in it as well. Like, he's doing some really tricky guitar stuff in it that I don't know that people that don't play maybe hear as much. Like
he makes it look easy.
And you know it sounds good as like an outside listener, but as a guitarist, when you like listen to what he's doing to make it work, it's really technical. Yeah. And for him, like at that point in time, at that age, at that point in his career, to still be branching out into those kind of things is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But their version is just... And they do a little bit of, they take some liberties with it. Like, they change a little bit of the structure with the chorus and stuff to make it fit a little more with how they're playing. But it's really good.
It's really good. And that's Jerry's love for the Beatles. You know?
Just something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. Like, I never hear people talk about Jerry's, I hear people talk about Jerry's love of folk music, of bluegrass. Mm-hmm. I don't hear about much with Jerry, how much he liked the Beatles.
They loved the Beatles, you know, and they were always bringing out new Beatles tunes. Up until 95, you know, they were doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, Rain.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else. There was something else too, but, you know, they were always exploring that Beatles catalog and Dylan too.
Of course. It's hard for any musician of that age to not do some Dylan tunes. Like,
yeah.
Everybody loved playing Dylan tunes because they're so much fun to play. And there's such good songs. It's hard not to play one. And also, like, the Jerry song that's on here, Deal, that may be one of my favorite versions of Deal I've ever heard. Even counting, like, the Dead versions. Because the version of Deal on here has so much life in it.
It does. And it's a part, I mean, that's obviously your set ender. Perfect set ender for set one. Here again, the band is all together. It's a train rolling down the track, just blistering.
I feel like whenever I've heard Deal on a Live Dead show, I just feel like it doesn't have the same energy to it.
The punch.
It doesn't have the punch that it does on. It's way more laid back with the Dead than it is with the Jerry Garcia band, where it like comes out the gate really punchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other things about it is Jerry's love for R&B and like gospel tinged tunes. That Lucky Old Son on here.
We also got the Alan Toussaint tune on there.
Oh, yeah. True.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's great.
Was it Get Out of My Life?
Get Out of My Life. Yeah.
So good.
My Sisters and Brothers, you know, he loved all those gospel-type tunes. And taking a song like Lucky Old Son, which is probably clocks in at, what, 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes,
sure.
And this one's 12-plus.
Right.
But you get a gorgeous organ solo
from
Melvin Seals.
So good.
Which, you know, essentially welcome to church.
Yeah.
You know.
So
our kind of church.
Another one that I was kind of confused by, I really enjoyed it, but Evangeline.
Oh, yeah.
Which, is that a Los Lobos song?
I think so.
I mean, I saw that it was David Hidalgo that wrote it.
But it makes sense. Jerry's a huge Los Lobos fan.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
And they opened for the Dead in 88, I think.
Wow.
And Jerry has sat in with them.
I knew that. I knew about Los Lobos being big into the Dead.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was like the other way around either.
Jerry loved them.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that Evangeline is great.
It's killer.
It's great. Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't brought up the Bruce Cockburn tune.
Which one's on here?
Waiting for a Miracle.
Oh, yeah. Waiting for a Miracle.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's your boy.
I mean, if they've covered If I Had a Rocket Launcher, I'd probably give them a little more credit. Or Lovers in a Dangerous Time, either one.
Yeah.
But that Waiting for a Miracle is fantastic
as
well.
It is. It is.
Probably better than Bruce's version, if I'm being, well, if I'm being honest. But... Great.
Strange thing, too, to kind of how it just the family tree works with the Dead. So Bruce Cockburn did that album in 92 or 3.
Okay.
That Rob Wasserman.
Yes.
Played bass on.
Yep.
That he was playing with Bob Weir at the time in Rat Dog.
In Rat Dog,
the early version of Rat Dog, I guess. What was that album? It was on Ryko.
The Bruce album?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't. There's
it
no
had
way
that tune, Pacing the Cage, on it. That was fabulous. And I think Ani DeFranco was on that.
Wow.
That one. As
Talk
well.
About the 90s.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
That's the 90s coming on strong there. Let's see.
What
was that album called?
I really think that Jerry was a fan of his lyrics. And it's why that tune was brought in.
And he's one of those guys that vocally he can be a little, you know, it's an acquired taste sometimes
it
vocally.
It is. And a lot of his albums and lyrics or songs are topical at the time.
Yes. Very much, you know, protest songs and fighting against the man.
Yes.
And, you know, that's was it Dancing in the Dragon's Jaws? Was that the one? Is it this one, this cover?
No.
That's an earlier one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me see. We're going to find it. Nothing But a Burning Light? Waiting for a Miracle? Those all look like... Those are all the big albums, but I don't know which one it would have been with Wasserman on there.
Ah, there it is. The Charity of Night.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm unfamiliar with that one, so I should probably listen to it.
It's a good one. Night Train, Pacing the Cage is on there.
See, that's what I like about this podcast is because you get people get an insight as to what it's like working at the music store with both of us.
Yeah.
Matt usually pulls out something that is pretty obscure that I've never heard of, and then I get to listen to it, and I'll usually pull out some 90s something he's never heard of, and he won't listen to it.
And it all goes back to Jerry Band.
It all goes back to Jerry Band.
The 6 degrees.
But I need I'm going to listen to it because I love Wasserman.
Yeah.
And,
oh, you know, his like playing Bruce. On it's fantastic with Bruce's acoustic, you know. Hell, I'm going to go listen to it.
Oh, shit. You probably got it on vinyl somewhere.
I don't think it was ever on vinyl.
96, yeah, that's a tough one.
RSD, here we come, if you're listening.
So, let's see. You get the Peter Tosh song, Stop That Train.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That was a staple.
Kind of cool. I'm going to point out one that would keep this from a 10 out of 10 record for me.
Uh-oh.
Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
Yeah.
It is so slow. It's kind of worn out. It is so slow.
Here's the thing, though. Like, Jerry has been playing that song since 72. I mean, it is a mainstay.
Yeah. But it's not like the band's version was all that fast.
Yeah.
And somehow on this album, they managed to, like, halftime the band's version of it. I don't fully understand what they were going through with their cover, like what was going through their heads as far as what they were trying to do with that cover. Because, like, maybe it was just a crowd favorite. Maybe it was like,
I think it was
like throwing a bone to the crowd, yeah, of like, you all know this song, here you go. But there's so many songs on there where I can totally see where they were going with it. And that's just one that I feel like's a miss.
Yeah.
And also, feel like, there's other band songs they could have totally done that would have been awesome.
True.
Too.
Now that you bring it up, I will say it's probably my least favorite song on the album.
Like, what if they...
But I still like it.
If they'd rocked out Ophelia or, like, Chess Fever or something, that'd have been great.
Yeah, but can you see that band doing it, though? This is...
King Harvest, maybe?
This song is definitely more tailored for... Yeah. That's band. True. The style that they're playing in.
If you're going from like I Shall Be Released
and the
kind
song
of thing,
selection,
yeah, sure.
I mean, it worked. Totally works.
Sure. Sure.
It's just not a favorite.
No, I just feel like it's a weak spot in the in the set. But I guess I get why they put it on there because a lot of people like that song.
Yeah.
Jerry
never quit playing it.
Really?
It was always in a set.
Interesting.
Yeah. You go back and listen to that Garcia Saunders stuff, 72, 73, 74.
So on that note, like, how was Jerry's relationship with the guys in the band? Was he close to those guys at all, like LeVon Helm or like Robbie Robertson? Or was there any like overlap?
Probably. I mean, they played together in the 70s. They did a show together at some point. And then... The band played in 95. They opened for the Dead.
Okay.
Summer tour.
That's what I was looking for.
So I would say it's more LeVon Helm than Robbie Robertson.
Sure.
But I bet Jerry loved those Robbie albums in the late 80s.
Yeah, it'd be hard.
If you had to.
It'd be hard for him not to. I mean, those are pretty cool albums. Specifically,
albums.
The one album that he put out was really good. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but
The Dead covered Broken Arrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Busted it out in 92.
Wow.
Played it till the end.
So how many, did he tour at all with this band? Was this like a,
yes, okay. I think that 91 or 92 was the last real Garcia band tour.
Okay.
So 91, I remember them. The closest they came was Milwaukee. And I think my buddy John went.
I'm really surprised you didn't ride with them.
I don't know. I mean, back then, who knows? I probably had to work or something like that. But Milwaukee's also 10 hours or something.
Yeah, every bit of 10 hours. Like, that's not close to us whatsoever.
But... You know, I mean, they didn't really do extensive tours. I mean, they'd play a block in California. And then on that tour, they probably did Chicago,
New York,
Milwaukee, and I don't know. Yeah.
Of course, he was only
to East Coast.
Yeah. And he was only able to do it when he wasn't doing stuff with the dead or with somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. It was much easier for him to go, hey, let's do 10 shows at the Warfield.
So how does this fit in with what he was doing with Grisman at the time? Like, was he playing with David Grisman at the same time frame as Jerry Garcia Band?
Yep.
And on that note, why was Grisman not in Jerry Garcia Band?
Well, they were both very successful on their own.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Grisman was doing his thing and touring all the time, had his label started up.
What was his label?
Dog Records.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what, you know, I think around this time was when he and Jerry got reacquainted and they did that first Garcia Grisman. And then they played a series of shows at the Warfield.
So this celebrate. All kind of ran concurrent then. Like, he was probably working on that stuff at the same mm-hmm. time as Jerry Garcia Band.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to be fair, I wonder, like, for as tight as this album sounds, I wonder how much work it actually was. Because these, for the most part, a lot of these songs are songs that every kind of touring musician of the time would know.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much rehearsal it actually took for them to get that tight.
That's a good question. I mean,
maybe not much.
Maybe not much. Yeah. They probably got together and ran through it a little bit, you know, but as far as doing a set from top to bottom, I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is also, I mean, it's mind-boggling, but I bet it didn't take much rehearsal at all for them to click in and get super duper tight. If I had to guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any insight on that. I don't know if you do, but like, are there any videos of them playing Jerry Garcia Band? Is there any like footage out there? Any mm-hmm. pro shot footage?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where would one look if they wanted to see more?
YouTube.
Was there anything like officially released or?
They did release a couple of DVDs back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a Shoreline and might just have been a Shoreline show from 89, I think.
Do you own those?
Of course.
Of course. I mean, is that even a question?
Yeah. What?
Just checking. I was just checking. You seemed a little foggy on the DVDs. I was just checking.
Well, to be honest, I don't pull the DVDs out very often, but I have them, and that's the important thing, right?
It is. So, after all this talk of this record, are you still going to stand behind the 10 out of 10?
Yes.
Even with, like, you're not even going 9.5 on the I Shall Be Released?
I Shall Be Released.
I mean, on
Dixie Down.
Dixie Down.
No, I'm holding firm. This is fabulous.
Yeah.
If you like the Dead, if you like Garcia, if you like, you know, gospel, R&B, rock and roll, I mean, it's got everything.
It does kind of have everything, which really, in some avenues, could hurt a band, but in this one, it's just, it's perfect for them because they're all playing at the top of the game. I can't go 10 out of 10 on it.
I know.
But I can.
You're not supposed to.
I'm not supposed to. But I can say that I really, really enjoy it. And I would give it like an 8.5.
It's a easily. Super enjoyable album.
Yes.
Like, it's a Sunday morning album.
It's fun. It's a fun record. There's not there's not much downer to it. It's pretty fun all the way through.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So on that note, thanks for listening, guys. Do you think these are still available? You think anybody can still buy
this? Actually, anymore? It is. This is the RSD gold foil, whatever box, but the regular box is still available. And I really think it's affordable. Like, the list price is really, really cheap, like $59.99 or something.
Oh, you can't beat that. So if you're interested and you're local, holler at Matt, you can get you a copy of it.
Absolutely.
Or listen to it on streaming and see what you think of it, and then go buy a copy.
Yeah.
Because it's great.
And listen to that Bruce Coburn CD.
Oh, yeah. And just listen to him in general. If I Had a Rocket Launcher is one of the greatest songs ever written. That's not arguable. That's a fact.
Okay.
One of the greatest songs ever written.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.